following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
All right, Refuge family and visitors, good to have you with us today, Monday, Fireside Chat, our weekly practice weekdays, Monday through Friday, noon, roughly 15 minutes of encouragement from the Word of God in these strange times that the Lord has strategically placed us, right? Not by accident, but by His infinite wisdom, we're here for this time. And we've been, the pastoral staff, we've been working on resetting the sanctuary. This is a tape measure. Getting ready for whatever that day may be. As Pastor Bill said this weekend, we're going to be ready. So as soon as we get the go-ahead to meet whatever the size that we're allowed to, up to 250, for example, we'll be ready. So we're working on that now. And I think Pastor Jonathan is ready to bring us a chat. So take it away, brother.
All right. Well, welcome to another Fireside Chat. So excited to be here. And today we're going to be talking about an issue that I have a feeling that we all need to hear about it if we are quarantined with anybody besides just ourselves. So if you're at home with anybody, whether it's a roommate, a family member, this is what we're about this today. We need to learn something very important, and that is about forgiveness. We all need to forgive or be forgiven by a family member at some point, right? No family's perfect because families are just people and people are never perfect. It's simple, right? In every family, people hurt each other. Unfortunately, in what we would consider a typical family, when they get hurt, we often will respond with bitterness, with anger or revenge. You know, we took the junior hires through this series as well recently, and one of the things we kept telling them is that we don't want to be a typical family. We want to be atypical. We want to be abnormal as Christians. If we want to be abnormal, if we want God to use us and do things abnormal, we got to be the first one sometimes to make that change. And so I wanted to take a look at one family in particular in the Bible that really had to struggle a little bit with forgiveness. And it's the story of Joseph and his brothers. Joseph and his brothers. Let's think about the family dynamics of Joseph and his brothers for a little bit, right? We know that Joseph is Jacob's favorite. Is very obvious. It was his son born to his favorite wife. Unfortunately, that brings up a whole set of issues of forgiveness and craziness going on, right? When you have a favorite wife, but Jacob did, and Joseph was his favorite child, and he wasn't quiet about it. He promoted his youngest son. This was son number 11 to be the boss over all the older ones, and you know, his some obvious reason. I mean, I don't understand why really, but no. His brothers hated it, right? They hated it, and they decided that they didn't want anything to do with them, especially after Joseph starts telling all these dreams of, look, I had another dream where you guys all bowed down to me. You know, this time he's probably like a 15 or 16-year-old, super stoked that he's hearing from God and everything, and not really having the wisdom to know when to tell your brothers these kind of things, right? He definitely wasn't totally innocent. He sounds a little arrogant and a little obnoxious. He sounds like a teenager. Doing youth ministry and having teenagers myself as well, it's like, I know what that's like. But one day his brothers are working hard in the field. They go out and they're working, and Joseph shows up and he's wearing his boss's jacket, basically. He's wearing the vest, not the vest, the coat that has sleeves that shows that I don't actually have to do any work. Yeah. I see Alan out here kind of like, yeah, see, I know what that feels. No, actually, Alan doesn't. He's always hardworking with us. But this guy shows up like, and he's got this attitude on him, and he's just very kind of pompous and just like, hey, what are you guys up to? And he starts seeing bad things happen. And his brothers are so tired of it, they finally are like, that's it. We got to get rid of him. And they're ready to kill him. They have this idea, let's kill him. And then he's going to be taken care of, right? So, but that doesn't work out. One of the brothers is like, let's not kill him. What we should do is just, let's just throw him in this pit. And then we'll rescue him later from it, is what his plan was. He was going to rescue him later and bring him back to his dad and kind of get favor with his dad in that way. But it didn't work out, did it? He's gone, and Joseph's thrown in the pit, and Judah's the one that comes up with this great plan of, hey, forget that. Let's just sell him into slavery. Let's make some money off of our brother. Okay, so instead of killing him, They're just like, oh, well, we'll show some mercy on them. We'll just sell them to slavery to a foreign land. And, you know, we know the rest of the story. Joseph goes down. He's a slave for a period of time. Then he's thrown in prison for a crime he didn't commit. And rises to power later after interpreting some dreams. And actually rises to become the vizier, the second in command of Egypt. And saves his brothers. His brothers come down, and through a series of events, his brothers find out, oh, this is Joseph, and they're all excited, and they're all really happy about that, but they're also scared still, because they still are like, Joseph might want to get revenge. He might come after us. And so in Genesis chapter 50, actually, right at the end of the story, Jacob has died, he's been buried, and in Genesis 50, starting in verse 15, his brothers come up with this plan to try and protect themselves. It says, when Joseph's brother saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. This is after they've already seen that God has done amazing things. He saved the entire family because of what has happened. Joseph is now second in command, but they're still worried. There's still this guilt that they have over what they did. And it says, so they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of your servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. There's actually no evidence that he actually said anything like that, that Jacob said this, but the boys are trying to come up with a plan. They're still plotting. They're still trying to come up with this thing. But verse 18, then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. You know, Joseph had every reason to be angry, to be bitter at his brothers. But Joseph chose forgiveness instead of bitterness. He chose to forgive. He chose to surrender it to God and say, no, this isn't, you meant to do something evil, but God has turned it around and used it for good. And that's the path that we are required as believers to take as well. Even if it doesn't turn out for good in this life, God can use those situations for our good, in our salvation, in our life, in our growth as a believer. In Matthew 18, in verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And you know, this was very actual gracious of Peter, because the rabbis at the time said three times is all you need to forgive somebody. If they do it a fourth time, you do not need to forgive them. And so he's like, well, let's double it and round it up to seven. Jesus seems to like the number seven, so let's just round it up to that. Is that how many times I need to forgive? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That is an extremely high number, 490 times. I guarantee you I've had people in my life, my wife probably, who's had to forgive me more than that. But you know what? She doesn't keep track, and I'm thankful for that. At that number, you'll start to lose count, right? And so what Jesus is saying is continually, without fail, offer forgiveness. And Jesus goes on to tell the parable in this passage here about a man who's been forgiven a huge debt. It was forgiveness he didn't deserve. And then he walks out and he sees somebody who owes him just a little bit of money. And he's like, pay me back. And when the guy doesn't, he's like, throw him in jail until he can work off his debt. And you know, it shows this, like, we've been forgiven such a great forgiveness from the Lord, yet we're often so unwilling to forgive those who have sinned against us. But we need to forgive with the kind of forgiveness that God showed to us, this unconditional forgiveness, this forgiveness that overwhelms the person with love and forgiveness. If we want our families, and we're in quarantine, if there is a time where we get on each other's nerves more than what we probably have in the last month, I don't know what it would be, right? We do this. We get on each other's nerves just by constantly being around. We're trapped. There's nowhere to get away. Even if you can get away for work, you're to come back, and everyone else who's been home all day is anxious and worried and stressed out. And so we are going to do things that are going to offend one another. But Jesus says we must forgive. If we want to be families that are atypical, if we want to be families that are different than the world around us, sometimes we're going to have to be the first one to offer that forgiveness, so be the first one to be atypical if we want the whole family to be different. And that's what Joseph does here. He's the first one. He offers the forgiveness to his brothers. And that's what Jesus teaches us to do. When we've been hurt by someone in our family, it's so easy to seek revenge or to just get bitter. But Joseph chooses to do the atypical thing. He showed his brothers forgiveness, kindness, and compassion, because not so typical families, atypical families, forgive one another. Now, I want to bring up, even with our short time, I feel like it's really important for us to bring up, if people are hurting you, if there's abuse in a situation, if that this conversation is not for you and that we're like, oh, just forgive and let it continue. No, if that's your story, tell somebody. Get out. Seek help. Okay, the Word of God doesn't say you need to remain in a situation where you're continually being abused. Seek help. Call the church. We have resources that we can reach out and show you where to go and where to turn to help you in those situations. But if that's not your story, let's move on. Let's keep talking. Forgiveness changed Joseph and his family for the better, right? They were eager. Joseph was eager to forgive his brothers, and we need to be that have that eagerness as well, even though it is so difficult. So how do you forgive? In the few minutes we have left, how do you forgive a family member when they've hurt you? Forgiveness doesn't have to be complicated. Okay, it can be as simple as starting by admitting that you're feeling hurt. Admit to the person, admit to God. And sometimes you have to even admit to yourself that, that really hurt. Start by admitting that. And then tell God that you need help forgiving them. Because sometimes we're like, I'm just so angry. I know I need to forgive, but I don't know what to do. Well, have you asked God yet to help you with that? God will give you the strength. God will give you the wisdom on how to go about offering that forgiveness. And ask God to heal the parts of your heart that have been hurt. Because you've been hurt. You've been hurt. And the physical hurt, you need to seek relief from the pain, right? I just broke a toe, actually, this week. And I know you got to relieve the pain. Icing and bandaging. When our hearts are broken, we need to have that healing as well. And that comes from the Lord. That comes from the Lord. So ask God to heal those hearts, parts of you that are broken or hurt. The next step is that we need to choose to move forward instead of looking to the past. We need to choose to focus on moving forward and working on building that relationship back again rather than what the person has done in your past. Because the truth is, you've probably hurt them as well already, right? If we dwell on the past, are we expecting them to dwell on the past too? We would want them to forgive us and forget about what we've done. And we need to be willing to do the same. And we need to then ask for forgiveness if we've hurt them. Sometimes it's one thing to say, you hurt me. When you said that, it hurt. But you need to find out, have you done something that led to it as well, that you did something that you need to ask forgiveness for? We've got kids in our household. One of the most common things is when there was a fight, well, he started it. I'm like, yeah, I'm talking to you because you just did this, but he started it. And like, okay, we'll deal with that. He may need to ask your forgiveness, but you need to ask forgiveness for how you responded. Right? So I want you guys to think about somebody in your family that you need to forgive. Now imagine right now that you and your family, imagine how your family could be completely transformed if you are willing to choose forgiveness over bitterness or revenge. Think about how can that forgiveness change our attitude or perspective towards that person, or change the person that we're fighting with. If we offer them forgiveness, how is that going to go about changing even their hearts, right? It changes our hearts, but it's going to change theirs as well. Forgiveness is tough, but it's an amazing thing that we get to do, that we get a chance to forgive each other and show in some small way the forgiveness that God has given to us. And so I want to encourage you guys right now, while we're sitting here in this time, while we're at home and we're caught up with so many other people in our lives that are causing us pain and we're causing pain to them, learn to be a family that is builds their relationship on forgiveness. It's going to happen. We're going to hurt each other, but we can learn to forgive and grow strong and be that atypical family that does amazing things for God and be a light in this dark world because of it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you right now for this chance to share this message, and I pray for the families that are watching and for the individuals who are watching that are there with their families, at home as well. Lord, I pray right now that you would give us the strength and give us the wisdom on how we can forgive one another. Help us, Lord. Reveal to us the people that we need to seek out forgiveness from as well, but also give us the strength to be able to forgive those who have hurt us. You showed us your love and your forgiveness in the greatest possible way when you sent your Son to die on a cross for our sins to give us freedom. And so I pray that you would help us to be an example of that kind of forgiveness in our families and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. We'll be back here again tomorrow for another Fireside Chat at noon. So we'll see you then.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.